The Brighton Camp Meeting. Campground, Middle Brighton, Victoria, Australia. January 29, 1894. Tents were first pitched on this beautiful ground the 26th of December, and the number steadily increased until it reached 108. Between 400 and 500 persons have been camped on the ground. This morning, the tents will all be taken down, not one left. Our brethren and sisters have nearly all returned to their homes, but some still remain, ministers and men on committees, who carried on their business meetings all day yesterday. We rode up from St. Kilda yesterday morning and found the ministers and some others assembled in the large tent. Elder Olson asked me to speak, and I talked to them 30 minutes. This protracted the meeting beyond its allotted time, but the Lord gave me words to speak to the people, and His Spirit was in the meeting. Soon, the outsiders who were interested in the truth began to come in, and a Bible lesson was given by Elder Starr. I spoke again at 3 o'clock, and the Lord gave me a message for those assembled. The tent was nearly filled with those not of our faith, very nice-appearing people. Brighton is stirred from one end to the other. An interest is awakened also in the city of Melbourne and the surrounding suburbs. It is beyond anything that we have witnessed since 1843 and 1844. The very best class are interested. Among those who have attended the meetings is a family who live close to the grounds by the name of Hill, a very excellent family. Mr. Hill is the superintendent of the Wesleyan Sunday School in Brighton and has occupied this position for 28 years. He has stood at the head of a large drapery establishment as one of the partners for nearly 30 years. This family are now making their decision. They see the truth and have now to decide whether they will obey it or not. They are interested to learn everything. They acknowledge that the churches are in a backslidden state and that the presentation of the truth has opened the Bible to them as a new book. This family have formed a pleasant acquaintance with Brother and Sister Starr and have invited them to their home to eat with them and talk upon the Scriptures. This visit brought Brother and Sister Starr into acquaintance with a wealthy maiden lady and her companion. Both are on the point of decision. I spoke Sunday afternoon from Hebrews 2, and it seemed to be just the subject to meet their present convictions. Willie brought one to visit me who has decided to obey the truth, a very pleasant, keen, black-eyed woman of about 35 years named Malcolm. She has been a missionary to China and has labored some among the Maoris in New Zealand. They say that she is a very interesting speaker. She and her sister, her mother, brother, and his wife have taken their position, and her sister has returned to her home fully determined to lift the standard of truth where she resides. I have sent my horse and phaeton to bring them to the meeting. They have been attending the meetings at the Prayer and Town Hall where Elder Starr has spoken Sunday evenings for the past 6 months. So they have had opportunity to hear much and have moved very cautiously. They will be workers to teach the truth to others. Many others have become interested in the tent meetings, and quite a number have decided for the truth. We are rejoiced to hear one after another saying, "I am keeping my first Sabbath." Several came out in the earlier stage of the meeting. Among these were two brothers connected with a large music store. It was not so difficult for them as for some others to take their stand, as Saturday is a half holiday. They will put in extra hours and make up the time they give to the observance of the Sabbath, so they will meet with no difficulty at present. Sister Israel brought to my tent an elderly lady who has decided to obey the truth. Her husband has not come out so fully, but is interested and, she says, needs more drawing. Labor must be given to him. They are nice-appearing people. She says her father and mother were both earnest workers, both preachers, full of zeal and energy. Oh, if they had been alive, she said, to see this day, they would have rejoiced. They own several houses near the bay which they rent. Brighton has the reputation of being the best part of Melbourne. It is a beautiful situation. The Congregational Church is wonderfully stirred. There are about 40 young men who have, by their own request, had a meeting in one of the tents for the study of the Sabbath question. They began with trying to convince Brother Starr, but the effort resulted in the convincing being on the other side. Well, the minister of this church was out on his vacation when he was informed that his members were being drawn away. He hurried back and attended the special meeting with the young members of his flock. He presented the same arguments that others use against the truth, and the Sabbath in particular, but his arguments were so weak and untenable that his own people were ashamed of them, as well as of the spirit he manifested. Other meetings were appointed in a private house, where these young men will pursue the investigation started. So the Lord is at work. Some from the Congregational Church have taken their position for the truth, and this greatly offends the minister. In the last meeting, when he saw his own weakness, he said that he had a confession to make. He had let pleasure come before his duty, and instead of preparing himself for the occasion, he had taken a pleasure excursion on a yacht on the bay. This statement left a bad impression on the minds of the young men, for they felt really in earnest to investigate these important subjects, and they said they thought that the example given by their minister to the young men of his congregation was not as it should be, that a pleasure excursion should come first on such an occasion. These young men feel that much is at stake. One has already confessed the truth, and we have faith that more will follow. Four young men were in our meeting on Sunday with their Bibles, who came from some distance. They are deeply interested, earnestly inquiring if this is the truth. Already the people here who have taken hold of the truth talk of building a meeting house. Elder Corliss has rented a house for himself in Brighton. A gentleman came forward who offered an enclosed lot, free of charge, for the tent. It is close by the post office in Brighton, and there is a small church building on the same lot. So the way is opening. Williamstown also has been stirred. Some in Hawthorne have embraced the truth. There is a call for preachers in both these places at once. Elders Israel and Baker will go directly to Williamstown. Elder Starr must return to the school. We are sorry it must be so at this time of general revival, when there are openings everywhere, but he will give a portion of his time to the interest that demands attention. They intend that Sister White shall do all she possibly can in every town and city. I cannot now number the places where I am desired to speak during the next 8 weeks if the Lord gives me strength. Oh, we need the Holy Spirit every hour. A meeting house will have to be built here, and the subject agitated at once, while the interest is deepening, so that those that embrace the truth may see that they have a place where they can worship God. Elder Corliss takes well. All think that he is just the man for the place. I am glad he is here. I take up my abode in the school building for 8 weeks. It may be less than that before we leave for New South Wales, where I hope to find a pleasant, retired place in which to complete the life of Christ. In a few hours we leave this pleasant spot where the Lord has manifested His power and His presence in a marked manner. I have spoken 16 times during this meeting, besides having considerable to say in the ministers' meetings. The meetings that have been held here have drawn heart to heart. A feeling of tenderness and love has been manifested throughout. The discourses have been given with power. Many have seen great light, and there has been manifested a hunger of soul for the truth, precious truth. Some have not missed a meeting. They are on the ground early and are the last to leave at night. The camp meeting has been in every way a success. We wish there were many more workers to take right hold and follow up the interest. This work should be carried to all the cities and villages, to the highways and hedges. Since writing the above, we have left the campground. We are now in the school, occupying 5 rooms. Our family consists of Emily and May, Marion, Sister Tuxford from New Zealand, and myself. As we were about to drive from the campground, the question was put by Elder Corliss, "Mother, will you speak in the tent next Sunday afternoon?" The tent was to be moved into the village of Middle Brighton. There are quite a number on the point of decision, but the far-reaching influence of the camp meeting cannot be estimated. New ones who are interested and even convinced are constantly coming to light. Dr. Kellogg came to the Phaeton while we were waiting for Elder Olson and said, "A man came to me after you had spoken yesterday and requested me to call at his house that night. Then, fearing I would not come, he came to my tent and urged me to call right away. He seemed to be very much in earnest about the matter. I went and found a family of 11, the man and his wife and 9 children. They are interested in the truth. I inquired if they had attended the tent meetings. The wife replied that she had. And what do you think about the meetings that you have heard? Do you not think that these men preach the truth? Oh, I know that it is the truth. I want to have Mrs. White, visit me. But what are you going to do about this matter? Will you obey the truth? Oh, she said, that is what troubles us. We do not know what he can do. It is a very serious question. This decision means a great deal. They wanted the doctor to call again. The woman said that she had not heard preaching like this since she left Scotland many years ago. Here we see the fields all ripe for the harvest. May the Lord send reapers to gather in the souls. As individual reapers, we need the meekness of Christ. All self-sufficiency and self-importance must be put away. Every idol that has been cherished must be torn from the soul temple, and every human agent must cooperate with the divine.